Time magazine ran an article that says that exercise won't help you lose any weight. Did the entire health and fitness community and all the research for the last 100 years get it all wrong? Well, you'll just have to listen to find out, and much, much more today on episode 74 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello and welcome to Fat to Fit Radio. So how are you doing this week, Russ?
I cannot complain. Here on the first week of my body transformation contest, had a good week of workouts, but unfortunately it did not lead to a huge amount of weight loss this week.
So what was your weight this week?
This week I was weighing in at 235.7, so just a fraction of a pound down from last week's 236. And I have to attribute that to definitely my eating. I have not... While I'm working out a lot, I'll give myself a 10 out of 10 on exercise goals this week. Eating-wise, I'm going to give myself a 4 out of 10. I'm really morning and lunch and all snacks in between. I'm really working well on that, getting those done in advance, doing the Jeff Ainsley technique on my lunches. So I've got those in advance already prepared. But, you know, right around dinner time in the evening, I'm snacking and, you know, I don't know what's going on there. It's just kind of weird. And so... While I focused on my exercise this week, this coming up next week, I'm going to be focusing on my my eating and really making that 100% for all my goals.
Well, you know, I think it's really the motivation is key. When you're tempted to eat at night, if you don't have this 100% motivation for that week, I think you're just sunk. But I don't think there's no way you cannot be having this fat just falling off you if you have 10 out of 10 for your eating, exercise, and motivation. There's no way that it cannot happen.
Right. Yeah. In the past, you know, in the few weeks before my reunion, you know, it was 10 out of 10. It was like everything was running and boy, the weight was coming off and it was great. And, you know, to mention that, we haven't mentioned that on the previous shows, but the reunion was amazing. And there was this comment, which I got so many times, which was the best one you could get at a reunion from after 20 years was, Russ, you look exactly the same. Now, I would take up issue with that. My hairline would take issue with that. But that was just a great comment that you want to get at a reunion.
Well, let's keep those great comments coming in when you start losing some more weight. You've been kind of stuck for quite some time. But anyways, let's move right into our email and comment section. And the first email came in from Marianne, and she wrote, Hi, Jeff and Russ. I love your show and listen to it every night before I fall asleep. Anyway, my question is about the diet pill, Phentermine. I've been taking it for about 4 months and have lost weight, but I notice I get very angry out of the blue. Not just a little, I mean crazy. Is there something in this that makes you this way? Thanks, guys, so much. Now, before getting into the specifics about Phentermine, we have some pretty strong feelings about diet supplements and diet drugs in general.
Yeah, we covered this topic back in episode number 18 in season 1 of the show. And we just had a couple of general things that we're focused on in that show. And the first one was diet pills and these diet supplements in general. The amount that they help you is just not worth it. I mean, you're taking, sometimes these things are $40 a week for these pills, and you get a very small benefit. If you get 100 calories, you know, they might help you a day, maybe 500 a week. That's an amazing amount. Most of the time it's going to be less than that. Is it really worth $40 for, you know, 500 calories? I don't think so. You know, that's one, less than one chocodile, 99 cents that you're going to undo that with. It's not worth it. Second wise, most of these are not drugs. They are food products. They're diet supplements. These claims that are on the packages are not looked at by the FDA. And so these products, I said, are just food products. You're basically paying this high price for food. Another one here is a lot of them are stimulants. They're like an amphetamine, and your body gets used to those. Inevitably, when you start taking the same amount over a long period of time, the effect wears off. You don't see a benefit anymore. Meanwhile, you're still paying that high price. And lastly, we advocate on the show lifestyle change. So if you are eating and exercising like that thin person you want to become, probably that thin person you want to become is not taking a diet drug or diet supplement. Exercise and your food choices that are going to make a lifestyle change, not a little pill you take once a day.
That's right. And I think that's a little over-exaggerated about burning 500 extra calories from a diet supplement. I would say most of them are 20 to 30 calories a day. You really don't get much of a benefit. But there are actual diet drugs that are prescription from your doctor, and they do have more of a kick to it. But even if they give you 100 calories per day, if you want to model a successful person who's in shape and has lost weight and maintains it, they're not taking diet drugs to maintain their weight. They're just living that active, healthy lifestyle. Now, to get specific about phentermine, my wife is a pharmacist, and she was in the room when I was reading this email, and I just asked her about the email and what's this phentermine, and she immediately says she's having a severe reaction to this drug, and she has to stop immediately. So she got on the internet and showed me these sites that showed the reactions to drugs, and right away we found this is a severe side effect. Seek immediate medical attention if these severe side effects occur. And her severe side effect was bizarre behavior. Phentermine is a stimulant. It is amphetamine. And if you think of that drug called speed, this is the drug that's associated with people punching through windshields and not feeling pain, and the police having a real hard time trying to get these people who, when they're going crazy and arresting them. That's what this drug is. It's in the same class. It does affect your central nervous system, and it can make you crazy like that. So I responded right away by email. Even though I'm not a doctor, I said, hey, well, here's some websites. It's a severe reaction. Go see your doctor right away. And she actually responded back and said, I have cut back on this and plan to stop using it altogether. I know there are no quick fixes in weight loss and will do it the right way so I don't put myself in danger or others for that matter. Thanks again. And I'm glad that I could respond right away, and I'm not sure if she was stopping anyways, but that's kind of scary to realize that this diet drug was causing a severe reaction, could have been really harmful. Now, just to give you an idea about phentermine, it's sold in the United States under 17 different brand names, so it could be called something totally different. And this drug, it was actually banned in Canada. Health Canada found it too dangerous. Here's some common side effects. So if you're thinking, well, I'm going to spend all this money and risk my health and maybe get this extra 100 calories of benefit per day, well, common side effects are bad taste in your mouth, changes in your sex drive, constipation, diarrhea, difficulty sleeping, dizziness, dry mouth, exaggerated sense of well-being, headache, impotence, nervousness, overstimulation, restlessness, sleeplessness, upset stomach. And the severe side effects, which Marianne was starting to get, are things like severe allergic reactions, rash, hives, itching, difficulty breathing, tightness in the chest, swelling of the mouth, face, lips, or tongue, bizarre behavior, which is what she was experiencing, chest pain, fainting, fast heartbeat, pounding in the chest, shortness of breath, swelling of the legs and feet, and tremor. And then to make it worse, I was reading at the bottom of the drug information, and it says it's also addictive. It says you may have withdrawal symptoms such as depression and extreme tiredness when you stop using phentermine after a long period of use. And it says don't stop using it suddenly. So small benefit, very risky drug. And people hear about side effects like this. And they say, oh, other people get it. No, people get the common side effects and some people get the severe side effects, which become very dangerous. Personally, I think the diet supplement drugs are a waste of time. And then you go to the doctor and you get a prescription that's a little more powerful, some benefit, but I don't think it's going to help you in the long run, and they're simply dangerous.
So if you look at any of these diet supplements or diet drugs, there's almost always that we want you to exercise and have a low-calorie diet. If you just do the low-calorie diet and exercise, you're going to see 99% of the benefit. And that drug is just, again, that 1%, maybe a little more benefit you'll see. But again, not worth the money. And back a few years ago, the drug was very popular. You recognize the name Fen-Phen. It was a combination of phentermine and another drug. And I'll have a link in the show notes to the Wikipedia article on it. But people were dying from taking Fen-Phen. It was so popular. My uncle was taking it and his wife. It was very, very prevalent. But people were dying. And your health is more important overall. I mean, being alive is more important than taking off that few extra pounds. You know, I'd rather be fat and alive than skinny and dead here at 38. It is not worth your health for that extra little benefit that you might gain overall.
Oh, I agree. And speaking of Fen-Phen, there's that huge black market that opened up when Fen-Phen was pulled from the shelves because people were desperate to use it because it was working for people. And even though people were dying from it, they thought, oh, it's not going to happen to me. So we're not teaching desperation here. We're teaching how to lose your weight and keep it off forever and not even consider going to any of these drugs.
Well, let's get on to our second email here. I think we've gave Marianne enough of it. So the second email here is from Michelle.
All right. Before we get reading this email, I just wanted to say that one of the reasons that we keep working so hard on the show is that we're making a difference in many people's lives. It's really the feedback that we get from our listeners that lets us know that what we tell people is actually working for them. Last show, we talked about all the email that we get from people who we've helped break out of weight loss plateaus, for example. Now, sometimes it feels to us that we simply can't compete with the entire weight loss industry that's only concerned with promising quick weight loss, earning quick profits, and then 6 months later or a year later, getting repeat business from those same people when they fail. So here's an email from Michelle, and we've actually shortened it a little bit.
All right. Michelle wrote, "I just discovered your Fat to Fit Radio podcast on iTunes, and I feel like it has changed my life for the better. Listening to your podcast, something finally clicked in my head. I am 23, weigh 171 pounds, and have been preoccupied with my weight since the sixth grade when someone made a comment about it, even though I wasn't remotely fat." She also wrote here, "I just listened to your podcast on body image and thought I would throw in that comment. Just like Russ, I remember that exact person's name. So for years, I have been emotionally eating and then yo-yo dieting without even realizing I was yo-yo dieting. I would do these cleanses and also essentially follow starvation diets, thinking I could keep my metabolism up during those times by maniacally exercising. Needless to say, it didn't work. I couldn't understand why, though, until listening to your podcast."
And she continues, "I'm sure you get tons of these emails now since you've been doing the show for a while, but I wanted to say thank you. Since listening, I figured out my BMR and I'm eating the calories of the thin person that I want to be and have also increased my exercise. The most important part is that I am not depriving myself of anything, which I used to do. In the past, that deprivation and the incorrect idea that in order to lose weight, I would have to forego any food that tasted good for the rest of my life would make me super depressed, and I would turn to binging to cope with it. No wonder I wasn't successful. I also used to have problems with exercising, feeling like every time I stepped into the gym, a little piece of my soul died. And as I said, though, that has all changed.
Right before finding your podcast, I was in the midst of a cleanse, and so once I started eating healthy, I had to go through the torturous process of watching myself gain weight back because my body was in starvation mode. Luckily, my body stabilized without gaining back all 13 pounds I lost from the cleanse. Now, even though my weight loss is a slow process, I am super happy because I know it is my lifestyle that I am changing, and it is a lifestyle I will be able to maintain. Thanks again for everything, Michelle."
You know, I think Michelle is going to do fine because I think our typical listener who does really well has failed many times and has gone through yo-yos and tried all of the stuff that doesn't work. And I just think it takes a lot of experience for people to realize that you have to change your lifestyle and go through it slow. In my real life, I actually know someone right now who is going through a 10-day cleanse. So they're only drinking distilled water, organic lemon juice, maple syrup, and cayenne pepper for 10 days. And then after that, they're going to drink 2 days of just orange juice. And they said they tried it 5 years ago, and they lost between 20 to 30 pounds and felt way better afterwards. If I suffered for 12 days without eating anything real, I would know the exact amount of weight that I lost. Believe me, I would be weighing myself to see if this was worth it. So 5 years now, they weigh a lot more than what they did when they went through this cleanse, and they really didn't learn anything. I didn't really tell them anything. They know that I do this show, but I didn't try and offer my suggestions because they were so convinced that this is going to be good for them and they're going to lose this weight and not gain it back. And I think maybe in 6 months, when they weigh a little bit more than what they did when they started this cleanse, maybe I can start to talk to them and give them advice. But it just takes time and experience before people are ready to try and do this slow lifestyle change that we're talking about.
So Michelle, we're glad that you've off the yo-yo diet, that you're off the cleanses, and you know you're following the lifestyle of the fit person you want to become, the philosophy that we talk about here on the show. So good luck to you, Michelle, and great job.
And thanks for the email, because your story is so common to so many of our listeners that it's going to inspire a lot of people.
Yes, and if you'd like to send us a question or comment like Marianne and Michelle did, there's a couple ways you can do that. The first is by leaving a comment on the website at fat2fitradio.com.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
The third is leaving a voicemail. Click on the Call Me button on the website at fattofitradio.com and leave us a free voicemail.
or you can join our support group at fattofitsupport.com.
All right, now we're going to tackle a couple of news items on the Web Report. And this week, Jeff, I think you got an article here has to do really with your visit here to Southern California when you went shopping.
That's right. My article comes from CNN.com, and it's entitled, As Nation Gains, Overweight is Relative. See, one thing that I noticed, in Canada, I went to Old Navy, and I buy a medium t-shirt. I went down to Los Angeles, and I went into an Old Navy, and I bought the same t-shirt, and I wear a size small. And then I went to Peru, and I bought some more t-shirts, and I'm a size large. So in different countries, the sizing is totally different. And one thing, this article from CNN is talking about how the sizes are all changing, especially in the United States, so they're getting bigger. 2 years ago, a woman might be a size 14, but today they'll come out of that same store being a size 10. They are increasing the sizes of their clothing, so people don't really realize that they're getting larger because they still fit in the same size clothing. And I know for a fact, my wife will buy clothing from one store if she can fit into a certain size, where the next store, she can't fit into something. She just feels better getting into a smaller size, even if it's the same size as, you know, the larger one.
You know, that happens a lot. I mean, my wife will also, she'll go to a certain store, and lucky she's not hung up on like a size, but it is always nice when she says, hey, it's a, you know, it's a size 6 or it's an 8, you know, and she's really happy with that number. But she will buy the size that actually fits her, and it doesn't really matter what size it is. But when that number's a little lower, she gets a little bit of, you know, sparkle in her eye.
I know, I was really surprised when I was in Los Angeles and I tried on a small t-shirt and it fit me. I haven't worn a men's small t-shirt since I was in junior high myself. It's kind of shocking. I should have tried on the large just to see how big that was.
Yeah, I mean, when you said that, and I was, number one, feeling pretty good about getting my size 38 pants here. And then I realized, you know, how big would that be in Canada? That means it would be a larger size. And then it just deflated me a little bit.
Well, I think the pant sizes for men, when they talk about inches, are fairly constant. But I think it's really the women who are most affected by it, because their sizes really aren't anything like inches where you can actually measure and see if they are getting bigger over time. But let's move on. What do you have for us this week, Russ?
Well, we got an email from listener Tony, and it was about a woman. Unfortunately, it's very tragic. A woman named Samantha Clow. She lived in the UK, and I said the word lived because she is no longer with us. She was on a diet called the Lighter Life Diet, and it says here she weighed 17 stone, 6 pounds, and you can do the math on that at 14 pounds per stone. But she was 5'9" and was described as fit and well. And she went on this diet, which is a extreme low-calorie diet we've talked about in the past. It's a 500-calorie-a-day diet. And she was trying to get ready for her wedding and trying to not be the quote-unquote fat bride here. Now, while in the article, it does not mention specifically that the diet killed her, but, you know, otherwise, she was given a clean bill of health in the beginning of this diet by her doctor, and 11 weeks later, she died. So I'm gonna make the jump and say that probably, you know, this diet, this 500 calorie a day diet, killed her. We talked about these other diets in the past. There was a Kim Kin's diet. There's also an ultra low calorie, 500 calorie a day diet. Part of the process of this diet is, you know, oh, if you're not, you know, if you're not losing your teeth, you're not doing it right. Or if you're not, you know, if you're a woman, if your menstrual cycle doesn't stop, you're not doing it right. You know, there's all these extreme symptoms of a starvation diet that these people who are on them think are a badge of honor as they're experiencing all these symptoms. And so if you go on one of these diets, you may in fact kill yourself. I just want to take a look at the article. You know, it doesn't say exactly that this would kill her, but kind of make the leap that if you're on all these diets, you're taking your life in your own hands.
Well, they do suspect heart arrhythmia, which is caused by your electrolytes and your sodium and everything just getting out of whack for being on starvation. She was almost 3 solid months of being on a starvation diet. That is a long time to survive on something like that. So I guess after hearing your news item here, Russ, we kind of have a common theme here about people trying diet pills and trying extreme things just to get the weight off quickly, and it's really not that worth it. I think really, exercising, eating right, that's the way to go.
You know, they haven't come up with the better option yet, as far as I've seen out there. All right, that's going to do it for Web Report, but let's get on to our controversial feature section.
Today's feature is all about exercise and weight loss. In the August 17th edition of Time magazine, the cover article was entitled, Why Exercise Won't Make You Thin. Now, I'm sure that millions of people saw that headline saying that exercise won't make you thin, and probably hundreds of thousands of people read the actual article. We've had several listeners who gave us a heads up about this article and wanted to hear our response to it. Was everything that we've been saying on this show really wrong? After all, this article appeared in Time magazine, not the National Enquirer. A listener named Miriam was the first to give us a link to Tom Venuto's response about this article, and we interviewed him twice on this show in the past. And Robert sent us a link to an audio interview with one of the main researchers that is quoted throughout the Time article. Both of these links will be in the show notes, and I suggest that people check them out. So here is the big controversy. The Time article basically says that it's a waste of time to exercise, and it really won't help you lose any weight. The author, by the name of John Cloud, says that he has been exercising for years and that it really hasn't helped him lose any weight. So based on his own anecdotal evidence of his own exercise regime, he went on a mission to maybe prove to himself that he should stop exercising because it hasn't worked for him. He even claims that by exercising, it can increase your appetite and you can actually gain weight. It is even full of good-sounding studies. The only problem is, they contradict all common sense and current research. It is not even until the third page that he even mentions any benefits of exercise, such as preventing disease, improving heart health, improving mental health, cognitive function, etc., as you age. I don't know if the average reader even makes it that far into an article. Exercise is just so important and is only given lip service to give some appearance of balance in this article. Now, it is true that he does have one point, that if you exercise and then go out for ice cream to reward yourself, you may erase all of those extra calories that you burned in your workout. That is obvious and nothing controversial. But by the end of the article and after reading all about these studies that he quotes, you are left with the feeling that exercise is useless in weight loss. To say the least, the fitness community is in an absolute uproar about this. The American College of Sports Medicine sent out a letter to all of their professional members right after it came out, and I'll quote from this letter. And I quote, "Last Friday, an article appeared in Time magazine making statements that we believe run counter to fact and the public interest. The article claimed that exercise, contrary to the research with which we are all familiar, is not an effective health tool, particularly as it pertains to weight loss." And they continue on, "Your assistance is needed in getting the right health message out to the public. Also, we encourage you to adapt our letter to the editor and submit it to your local news outlets, helping readers and viewers get the best evidence-based facts and information." So after doing some research into the studies quoted in that article, and then listening to an interview with Dr. Timothy Church, who is featured throughout the article, they even have a picture of him in his lab in the magazine article, it is clear that this was a biased, one-sided article that clearly and intentionally misrepresented the research that was quoted to make something controversial that really isn't. So here is an example right at the start of the third paragraph in this article, which tries to make a finding that isn't really there. He quotes a Minnesota study that looked at a group of people and found out that more of them regularly exercise now than at the start of the survey. So in this one group in Minnesota, more people exercise now than what they used to. He then compared the percentage of all Americans who are overweight during that same period. All Americans as a whole are fatter during the same time frame. So what he did is he then concluded that exercise hasn't helped because more people exercise, yet they seem to be fatter. But this is clearly twisting two separate findings that don't fit together. You can't compare one thing from a small study to another thing from the entire population. More people in Minnesota exercise, yet the rest of the country gets heavier, does not mean that everyone in the country started exercising more and had the same result, and therefore exercise isn't useful. That just isn't valid. The only way he could make that claim is to show that the people in Minnesota exercised more and that those same people in Minnesota gained weight over the same time. He made it sound reasonable on the surface, but you can't make that conclusion. It's simply flawed logic. If you are wondering what the actual results of that Minnesota study were, they found that yes, on average, the population got heavier, but the people who exercised gained the least amount of weight. It showed a benefit from exercise. That is a very different conclusion than what Time tried to make. Now it gets much, much worse. Instead of looking at the results and conclusions of the main study that he touts, he cherry-picked and took out only a few data points that would support the point that he is trying to make. So, for example, if you do a weight loss study and everyone loses an average of 10 pounds, some people will lose more and some will lose less. You can't say that whatever you were testing was a huge success because one or two people lost 25 pounds. And with the same reasoning, you can't say that whatever you were testing was a huge failure if one or two people gained weight. You have to look at the results of the whole study, the average of all the results. In the interview that I listened to with Dr. Church, which as I said will be linked to in the show notes, he says that his research was the main study that they used to support the conclusion that exercise really doesn't matter in weight loss. He says that his results were 100% misrepresented and distorted by the author of the Time article. Time magazine said that exercise increases your appetite and you will probably gain weight if you exercise, and then uses Dr. Church's study to use as proof. You simply cannot get that conclusion from the study that they are talking about. They got the results of that study absolutely backwards and simply wrong. So you're probably wondering, what was this study all about? Well, the study had 400 women in it, who on average were 58 years old. The goal of this particular study was to measure improvements in fitness with exercise. This was not a weight loss study at all. All of the participants were told not to change any of their eating habits. The researchers wanted to find out how much exercise people really needed to see improvements in fitness. They tested a lot of different factors, such as cardiovascular fitness, blood pressure, weight, etc. It was a very carefully regulated study where people were supervised while they exercised to make sure they did the intensity and the duration that they were supposed to. The women were separated into three different groups, and each group did a different amount of exercise. You know, some around 1, 2, or 3 hours per week using a treadmill or a bike, and they did this for 6 months. The conclusion of the study showed what they expected. To oversimplify, if you exercise more, you'll be in better shape. That is not the interesting part. What is very profound was that all three groups of women lost weight over the 6 months. The amazing thing was that in the first two groups, they lost the exact amount of weight that was calculated that they would. Each participant's weight was stable at the start of the study, and they continued to eat the same that they always did throughout the study. The only thing that changed was adding in exercise. They found that for every 3,500 calories that they exercised, on average, they lost 1 pound. It totally proved that exercise will burn those extra calories and it will help you lose weight. This is how Time magazine absolutely perverted those results. In the third group of women, the ones that exercised the most, they found that on average, they didn't lose the amount of weight that they calculated that they should have. In fact, one or two people gained weight. The conclusion that was drawn from the study was that some people were rewarding themselves for exercising and ended up eating more calories than they burned during exercise. They called these people compensators. Time magazine really got hung up on this and made it sound that exercise can increase your appetite so much that nobody can help but overeat when you exercise. They took those people who didn't lose as much weight as was predicted and based their conclusions on just those people, not the entire results of that study. To say it another way, the main finding of the study that had to do with weight loss was that all three groups lost weight just by adding in exercise. Time ignored those obvious findings and took the results of only a couple participants that were not average and used those points of data to support their conclusions about exercise. I'm going to quote the author of the study here from the interview, and this is Dr. Church, and I quote, "It is really simple. People greatly overestimate the amount of calories they burn when they exercise. I don't think that people appreciate that if they get on a treadmill and they run for an hour, that they burn between 400 to 500 calories based on how much they weigh. And you can easily eat through those 400 to 500 calories with an extra muffin. And our primary point is that if you're interested in losing weight and you want to do it through exercise, that's great. It will absolutely work. But exercise is not a free pass to eat whatever you want. If you're going to exercise a lot, you still have to pay attention to at least what you are eating. The Time article completely misrepresented all of this. Close quotes. Later in the interview, he says that of course he is very upset that his research was totally misrepresented, but the thing that bothers him the most from the article was how it claimed that phys ed was a waste of time for children. The Time article quoted an unpublished abstract presented at a conference that goes against all of the mainstream published studies on the subject of the usefulness of phys ed. They had to look hard to find something that goes against phys ed in schools, and they ended up with not a published peer-reviewed study, but just an abstract from a conference. This was just another desperate instance of cherry-picking to try and find something that they could use to maybe back up their point. So here is how studies are supposed to work. When you do a study, it should be published. Once it gets published and it goes through what's called peer review, where other people in your field examine your results and what you did to get those results, and they look for flaws in it. They will really pick it apart. This is the process of peer review. Eventually, others will repeat your study or do one that's very similar, and these will all go through the same process. After a time, there'll be a whole ton of studies that all point towards the same conclusion. An odd study might pop up once in a while that has a different result for a variety of reasons, and it might just be an oddball, but the consensus of scientific opinion will be what the vast majority of studies all show. You never take the results of one study that doesn't fit with everything else and say that must be the right one. You could create a study which asks 3-year-olds if the world is flat or round. If half of them don't know, you don't conclude that there is now a 50% chance that the world is flat. The Time article wouldn't have been so bad if they would have done that, but they totally screwed up what the study showed. If, for example, one of those 3-year-olds responded that the moon was round instead of talking about the Earth, Time magazine would have concluded that all 3-year-olds think they live on the moon and they should all be castrated to keep them from creating moon-earthling hybrids in the future. Now, I make this crazy comparison because this is just how far off the mark Time was when they interpreted the results of those studies. The thing that really bothers me about this Time article is why. Why would they print this sensational headline without any real evidence to support it? It all fell apart with any real scrutiny. The world has changed. People can use the internet to do their own fact-checking and read the studies for themselves. People don't believe everything they read anymore, especially if it doesn't seem plausible and contradicts current practice and beliefs. I'm wondering how many people saw this headline on the cover and are now using it as an excuse not to exercise, and how many people were thoroughly convinced by those studies and will not buy that gym membership that they were planning to. Like the American College of Sports Medicine said, the statements from this article run counter to fact and are against the public interest. This caused damage. Millions of people saw that cover and headline, and it will have an impact on some for years to come. Now, people might think that I'm stretching things here a bit. Sure, there are tons of infomercials out there that promote fitness and weight loss crap, but when we buy something from an infomercial, we all know in the back of our minds that it may not work because we all know about infomercials. We may ask other people who have tried an infomercial product, and if all else, we will hope that we didn't get ripped off. People do not question a magazine with a solid reputation like Time magazine. There's this logical fallacy known as argument from authority, where people will believe something based on who said it and not from the evidence. Time magazine will dupe a lot of people simply from the authority that they have, or at least for me, that they used to have. Was it that much of a slow news week that they had to manufacture this? And yes, I'm still not done. Another thing. A single writer doesn't just write a story and get it published as a feature story in a magazine like Time. The article first would have been pitched by the author, and then it would have been researched and written, and it would have been approved by various editors along the way. And I presume that it would have been fact-checked by someone. This is a multi-part failure by Time magazine, and in their desperate attempt to come up with a controversial story out of nothing to help with sales. I guess in summary, there is no controversy that exercise helps in weight loss. Absolutely none. Besides that, Exercise helps in every single system in your body. We are simply meant to move. Even the research that Time Twisted says that it's good for us. I'm going to leave you with one very impressive study from the National Weight Loss Control Registry, and of course I'll leave a link in the show notes for everyone. This is an ongoing weight loss study that is tracking over 5,000 people who have lost 30 or more pounds and kept it off for a minimum of 1 year. They're not really interested in how people lose weight, they're interested in how people keep it off for a lifetime. And that is something that goes right along with the goals of this show, and even our listeners, you guys might be interested in joining this study. Now, one of the findings of all of these 5,000 plus people who are keeping their weight off is that more than 90% exercise on average about 1 hour per day. The best way to be successful in permanent weight loss is to model after people who are successful, and an active, healthy lifestyle, the lifestyle of that thinner, healthier person, is the only way that anybody can do it for a lifetime. And I know that I kind of ranted on here, but Time Magazine was way out of line. The world is in fact round, and exercise helps in every area of your well-being, including helping with weight loss. So, Russ, are you still awake after all that?
Yeah, you know, it was just fascinating, you know, reading Tom Venuto's article, which I did this last week, really was just going after individual items in the article. But moreover, just when you listen to that with the author, with the researcher that did the report, you know, just the fact that it was completely misinterpreted. I just find that hilarious that that was not filtered out in the editing process as being a bogus article. That's just really bad journalism.
But let's move on. We're going long tonight. What do you have for the recipe this week?
All right. So for the recipe this week, I do not have just one recipe. I have six for the price of one. It's an article over at Yahoo Health, and it's called Six Salads That Help You Live Longer. Now, I enjoy a good salad, but most times my salads are lettuce and other things thrown on top. But this one is, these are all different. In these salads, there is not a single piece of lettuce. One of them is a classic beet salad, a cucumber salad, tomato basil, fennel and dried plum, Asian carrot, and watercress with tofu. So, you know, take a look, because salads do not have to be lettuce-based. They can be, you know, they don't have to be potato-based. You know, I hear a lot about potato salad or pasta salad. It can be something completely different. One of my favorite salads is a tomato and onion with a nice vinaigrette. Ah, especially when you have your own tomatoes from your yard, a beautiful little red onion chunks in there. Really good eating. But check these out. Six salads and no lettuce in them at all. So take a look at those.
Yeah, that was a really good find.
Cool, Jeff. And what are we going to do for homework this week, Jeff?
The goal this week is to go public with your weight loss. Tell at least three people this week about your newly adopted lifestyle. This adds a little more accountability to you when others are watching. The catch is you're not allowed to use the word diet a single time. The word diet refers to something that is temporary for most people. If they respond and ask you a specific question and use the word diet, your goal again is to challenge them on it and respond back with something like your new attitude on nutrition, or you are simply changing your lifestyle from a fat person's to a healthier person's lifestyle. Everyone always hears that so-and-so is yet on another diet. Your goal is to get across that you're doing something much more permanent.
Yeah, whenever anybody asks me, you know, they notice that I've lost weight, and they say, oh, Russ, what are you doing to lose weight? I do not say, well, I'm on this great diet. I say, I was living like a 300-pound guy, and now I'm living like a guy much, much smaller. And that's kind of that kind of leads into more questions and more talking. So, you know, if they ask, that's kind of it's my way of mentioning it to them. So good homework, good homework. And Jeff, now, what is our motivational quote for the week?
Well, the quote comes from the show we did on TOPS, that organization called Take Off Pounds Sensibly. And it's really a powerful quote that I've been thinking over the last couple of months, so I'm going to repeat it here again. And it is, even though I overeat in private, excess poundage is there for the world to see. Really gets you thinking about that.
Yeah. It puts... makes that private little cheat a much more public thing. That's good. All right. Well, I'm going to thank everybody for participating in the show, for sending in those emails, those comments, and those are great. And That's going to do it for this week. We will be back next week with another show, another topic. And if you have not given us a review in iTunes, we would appreciate that. If you are an iTunes user, just head on over and type in Fat to Fit Radio in the search bar and either give us a star rating or leave us a review. We'd appreciate it. And that we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.